Well, good morning. And there's an ancient custom I need to tell you about before we actually begin this part of our worship service. Back in the first century, now we're in the 21st century, so this was really a long time ago. Back in the first century, they started a tradition that when one believer would see another believer, the first one would say, "Christ is risen." And the second one would say, "The Lord is risen indeed." And this was a way that they were able to identify themselves to each other as to whom they were and to whom they belonged. And so today during the sermon, we're going to say this a couple of times, and so I'm going to need your help with that. So we're going to practice first. It's not that hard. So I'm going to say, "Christ is risen," and you'll say, "The Lord is risen indeed." Are you ready? Here we go. Christ is risen. That was pretty good for the first time. We're going to do it one more time, see how it sounds. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen.
All right, that is just what we're going to need during the sermon. So I start by saying that Easter is the day for Christians all around the world. Certainly we celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas, and we exchange gifts, and that reminds us of the gifts that the Magi brought to him. But Easter is really, really, really the most important part of our Christian belief. It is the time that we are aware that Jesus died in our place, that Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and that he overcame death by coming out of a tomb on the day that he was risen into the world again, that he overcame death. Now, if you recall, last Friday, we ended up where the disciples and all of the folks that were there at the crucifixion took Jesus' body and they put him in a tomb, and it was the day of preparation. Now, that day means that they were getting ready for the Sabbath. And maybe you don't know this about the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for the Jewish people begins actually a few minutes before it becomes dark on Friday evening. So they had to be ready for the Sabbath to come. It ends Saturday night when they can see three stars in the sky. So they took that body to the tomb and they put him in there, and then they all had to go and be ready for the Sabbath. But I want to ask you a question before I get too detailed. How many of you in here know this story about Jesus' resurrection? None of you? How many of you know this story? Oh, that makes me feel so much better. Just about everybody knows this story. You don't have to be a Christian to know this story, do you? And especially in the United States, probably everybody has at least heard of this story, something about it. But all over the world, I think that everyone has at least heard some mention of the fact that Jesus died and was resurrected. So this isn't really new information for any of you. So I'm going to try to make this retelling of the story brief, although it needs to be said. So Jesus' disciples, all of them Jewish, left his body there on Friday night, and they had to wait until Sunday morning. So Mary Magdalene shows up at the tomb, and she goes to take care of Jesus' body, as was the custom for the women to do. And when she looked into the tomb, his body wasn't there. And so the first thing she did was run back and get Peter and John. And she told them, "They've taken the Lord's body, and I don't know where he is." And so Peter and John have this holy foot race, I think, and they run as fast as they can to the tomb. John got there before Peter, but Peter was the one who went into the tomb first. And sure enough, it was just as Mary said. There were linen cloths on the ground, but there was no sign of Jesus' body. And so the men took all that in, and then they went home. But Mary, for some reason, she just couldn't make herself leave. And so she stayed there in her sadness and in her mourning, and she cried. And when she looked in the tomb again, she saw a couple of angels sitting there, and they told her, he's not here. He's risen just like he said he would. And so she leaves the tomb and she walks out. She sees a guy that she thinks is the gardener. And so she says, well, maybe he knows something. And so she goes to the gardener and she says, they've taken our Lord's body away. Do you know anything about that? And the gardener says, well, no, he doesn't know anything about that. But he speaks to her. And then the next thing he does is say her name. And that's when she knew it was Jesus. When he said her name, then she knew immediately that it really was Jesus and that he really was alive and that he really did overcome death, just like he said he was going to do. And I think just like anybody would do, she reached out to him and he said, don't cling to me, for I haven't ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And then she rushed back to tell them that Jesus was really alive. Christ is risen. We'll get better at this. Now, Mary went to the tomb that morning, not expecting to find Jesus alive. She went to the tomb expecting to find Jesus dead. And she ran away from the tomb when she found out that his body was gone, not because she was afraid, not because she thought she had seen a ghost, but because she couldn't wait to tell her friends. Mary was compelled to tell them, just as they would later be compelled to tell others the truth of Jesus' resurrection. Before Jesus was resurrected, the disciples spent probably 3 years with him, learning from him. He taught them so many things. And if you remember anything about that time, you might remember that mostly the disciples didn't get it. Do you remember that part? That the disciples just kind of went along with Jesus and they leaned on him and he did just about everything for them. They didn't always get what he was trying to teach them. They saw him perform miracles. They saw him preach to large crowds of people. They saw him reach out tenderly to those who were living on the edges. And they saw him perform all kinds of healings, different things, and yet they didn't quite get it. It took his resurrection to transform them into bold leaders. I think that sometimes we have this idea that, you know, we could just believe so much better, our faith would be so much stronger if we could be like the disciples and see Jesus alive and walk with him like they did. But I don't know how that worked out for them either. It took the resurrection to transform them from followers to leaders. They were compelled to tell others about him and to witness to his power and his love and his grace. The fact is, they couldn't not speak about him. They had to, because they knew that he was indeed the Son of God. Our reading in Acts today is an example of the way they witnessed about Jesus. And when we heard Chase read those words, this is Peter preaching to a big group of Gentiles, people who really didn't know anything about Jesus. And this was taken from a sermon that Peter preached probably a year or so after the resurrection. He says, "We apostles are witnesses of all Jesus did throughout Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. And then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." Now, those are not the words of a follower. Those are the words of a leader, of someone whose life was transformed. The words of someone who was so convicted of the truth that he couldn't keep it a secret. You see, the resurrection of Jesus, although a very well-known story, can only be life-changing when it is known as truth. We cannot keep silent. We cannot refuse to testify as witnesses that Jesus is indeed alive. Christ is risen. We're missing the enormity of the resurrection and what it really means, I think. We think that we can talk about the resurrection and then still live our lives as if nothing ever happened. We think we can come to an Easter service and go home and act like everything is still the same. And it's a hard thing to explain the resurrection to someone who has no knowledge of who Christ really is. But see, that's the deal. When we try to explain the resurrection, we will always fall flat, because the resurrection defies explanation. This is what Barbara Brown Taylor says. She says, you can't explain resurrection. Resurrection explains us. Do you get that? Resurrection explains us. Easter is about God. God took the cross and made it a means of triumph. God took the worst we could do and led us toward life. Jesus came back to forgive the very disciples who betrayed him. The world is about forgiveness, as it turns out, not about vengeance. The world is about life, as it turns out, not about death. Another theologian, Gerald O'Collins, puts it this way. In a profound sense, Christianity without the resurrection is not just Christianity without its final chapter. It isn't Christianity at all. Resurrection defines those who love Christ and who believe in him as the Son of God. When we are convicted of a truth so enormous and so life-changing, we cannot remain silent. We are compelled to speak about Jesus' resurrection to other people. Christ is risen. Now, here's an interesting thing. After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to over 500 people. He met the disciples in Galilee just like he promised. He gave them the Great Commission and told them to go and preach the good news to all nations. At Pentecost, over 5,000 people were baptized in a single day. Did you know that 5,000 people, that's more than every single person in this county? I mean, we would have had to like go to the next county to get a few to fill out that regimen. Over 5,000 people baptized in a single day. The disciples and the Apostle Paul, together with scores of other missionaries, devoted the rest of their lives to telling people about Jesus, leaving their homes and their families to travel throughout the world. And all of the remaining disciples and Paul and thousands and thousands and thousands of others through the centuries died martyrs' death. No one would endure all of that for a dead person. People would endure that for someone who is still alive and making changes and making a difference in the lives of people who might be living as if they were indeed dead. It is not up to us to explain resurrection. Did you notice Mary and the disciples? They're the first ones who had that news. They didn't try to explain it. They just told it. Because the fact is, resurrection is a mystery. And there are so many things about God that are mystery. The resurrection is there to be believed, not to be explained. Belief is what Jesus is after. He's not asking us to take a course in physics. He's asking us only to believe and to tell others about the power that he has given to us in our own lives. He's asking us to keep telling this story over and over and over again. Even after we think that everybody has already heard it, Jesus is still asking us to keep telling it. Now, I'm going to give y'all one more little story, and then we're going to come to this table of Christ. But this story was told by a man who was a Muslim and who became a Christian. And maybe you don't know it, but in countries outside the United States, Christianity is exploding. People outside of this country are being converted day after day after day after day. And so this story was told by a Muslim in Africa who became a Christian. And one of his friends asked him, why? Why did you become a Christian? And so he replied this way. He said, well, it's like this. He said, suppose you're going down a road and you come to a fork in the road and it goes in two directions and you don't know which way to go. And if you encountered two men, one at the end of each side of the road, and one of the men was dead and one of the men was alive, which one would you ask to show you the way? We serve a God who is alive and active in our daily lives, even today, 20-something centuries later. We go in the direction of the risen Christ without apology and without explanation. We only tell people about Jesus, about the ways that he has worked in our own lives. We tell them that not only has he worked in our lives, but he will work in their lives as well. When we invite Jesus into our lives, he is faithful to us. Always, every single time. So this week, are you willing to be changed? Because here's the little hidden secret about all that telling. Every time you tell someone else about Jesus, it changes you. Did you get that? Every time you tell someone else about Jesus, it changes you. So this week, are you willing to be changed? Are you willing to tell someone else that Jesus is alive? And are you willing to know that every time you tell that story, there's a really big risk that you yourself will be changed in the telling? Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now together, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Christ our Lord. Amen.